So today's scripture reading is actually found in the pew racks in front of you. There is enough for everybody to have their own sheet of paper. If you all pull that out, we're actually going to read the passage in unison together. So there should be enough for every single person to have their own paper. So does everybody feel ready? We're going to read this together because we're all about language. So our scripture reading for today is Acts chapter 2. Verses 1 to 21, and Jim, you're good as a director. You want to bring us all in at the right time? All right, here we go. So, all right. On Jim's direction, we are going to read the passage together.
When the day
had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. They divided tongues of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered. I know. So we were interrupted in our reading. How many of you felt like you had a different version than what somebody next to you was reading? Do you want to hear the passage in one version? All right. Acts 2, 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this, the sound of the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Pythagoria and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene. And visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds and power." The word of the Lord. So how did you like having the experience of reading and then realizing you're not reading in sync with the other people around you? Weird? I know for a fact it was weird for you all back there. All of these passages of Scripture, you are all reading the same exact passage. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 and 21. We stopped before we got all the way to the end, but you have that in your hand. I encourage you to take it back, read it, maybe exchange passages with your family, read it in different versions. It's all English. There wasn't a single other language, and I was tempted to put French and Spanish out there and some other languages, but I was like, let's just stick with English because I think we'll have a hard enough time with different versions of English. Can you imagine that day where there were different languages being spoken, all seemingly in chaos, all, though, saying the same things, speaking the wonders of God? I'm holding my phone because I couldn't help but be reminded of what we were doing when a video started making the rounds this week. And I'm sure that most of you have seen this video. In fact, looking at it, there are 52.4 million views on this video this week. It is a video of a father speaking to his pretty much infant son. Have you seen this? Yes. They're watching television and they start having a conversation about what is written. Now, we don't have any video capability, but I want you to hear the conversation. At least a little bit of it. Oh my goodness, and I just turned off my own phone.
Yes. Did you understand it, though?
Yeah, you get what's going on, right? So they're having a full-on conversation about what's happening on the television. One of them is speaking English, and the other one believes he is, but is not, and is completely speaking some sort of delightful babble. But I love this because it is absolutely a video about two people who love each other communicating. The minute I saw it, I said, oh, that's going to show up on Pentecost somewhere. Because it is all about language. Pentecost is all about how we communicate, about how we speak together. And what does it mean for us to speak together as a community? As we already said, Pentecost is the day that the church was born. Like literally today, we celebrate our birthday. See, that day in the room when all the disciples were gathered, the Spirit of God came upon them and turned them from being a band of scattered individuals to being the most powerful force for good that the world has ever known. I'm convinced of that. I'm convinced that that is the calling of this community which we call the church. The sign of their unity defied conventional wisdom. And honestly, it seemed that God may be going the wrong way. Is this a way to unite people in order to, again, mess up their language? And I imagine for many of them, this experience when they started hearing people talking in different languages, especially when they couldn't understand 90% of the people talking. They could understand that one person there, but they couldn't understand the other people. Maybe it harkened back to that story that they all knew from their childhood that was told since they were little all the way up through, this story of the Tower of Babel that you heard Calvin read earlier. This scene in the Tower of Babel has a group of people that still have the experience of the flood right in the back of their mind. They're gathered together as a people. And they have been walking together and feel that strength and safety in numbers. And I wonder if it was that catastrophic experience that they had in the back of their mind that made them choose to build some high tower. But the story says that the motivation to do what they were doing was they wanted a place big enough so that they could stay together. Doesn't that sound like a good motivation to you? Like as you read that story and you hear that, you say, well, that makes total sense, right? Why don't we build a place for all of us to stay? A place where we can all be and we can feel safe and we don't have to go out into this unknown space. Wouldn't God want people to stay together? You understand what I mean by that? When I read that passage, it goes, doesn't God want the people to stay together? Doesn't God want us to accomplish great things as a people together? Through our lens, it's hard to understand how this could be bad. In fact, as I was growing up as a kid, I often have heard this story sprinkled in with other ideas, trying to make sense of what it was the people were doing that could somehow justify God's response. You know, maybe they were building a tower to God and they wanted to be like God, that their issue was was pride. And so God was wanting to interrupt their prideful experience. But, you know, the story doesn't say that. And we often get into trouble when we read things into a Bible passage that simply aren't there. The passage just says they didn't want to be scattered. But yet, that's exactly what God had already called them to do. To spread out. To go through the world. To spread across the earth and to subdue it. The way I read this passage, the issue is all about the building. See, at this time, humanity is unified with one language and one common experience. And I even assume at this point they all shared a common faith, the faith of Noah and of Noah's sons. What they decide to do with their unity is they build a giant building. It will be a place that will establish and identify humanity for ages to come. Humanity will not spread. Humanity will not learn. It will not become diverse. It will not grow. Our entire culture will be literally monolithic, homogenous, and at best boring, but most likely eventually become inhumane. You know, growth and life tend to be stifled when it becomes institutionalized. When we decide to build something around an idea, something that we share together, we construct around it. We always get into trouble when we decide to establish that stuff. Because instead of the life that we share together and the growth that comes from being out in the world and living together and listening to the Spirit of God together, we build edifices and then we hide in them. And admittedly, sometimes we try to hide God in them. God in the Tower of Babel muddles their language, and as a result, they do scatter. They scatter to go learn and to stretch the boundaries of all it means to be human. They go build societies and tell stories and create faith and discover science and art that someday will enrich all of humanity because, my friends, we are better when we are diverse. And God understood that. God understood that we at our best selves, is when we go out into the world and we discover new things, and then of course we bring them back into the community for the betterment of all of us, that we do not thrive as a homogenous group all hiding in a building. When we get to Pentecost, it looks like God is at it again. Here is a room filled with people who all share the same language and experiences. Doesn't that sound good? They were all united in their love and their devotion for the risen Christ. Doesn't that sound good? They have all spent the last 50 days with Jesus learning more. They are committed to this. Doesn't that sound good? And Jesus has said to them, go and wait for the gift that God is going to be bringing to you. Wait for it. And you would think that they're all waiting in this room and think, this is wonderful. We're going to get this gift and we're all going to build around it. But then God comes and seems like God's doing the same thing God did in Babel. Scatters them again. They received what is called the gift of tongues, which meant they found themselves able to communicate in the mother tongue of everyone that was gathered in Jerusalem during this festival season. People heard the wonders of God in a language they could understand. Maybe it wasn't a language that the person next to them could understand, but there was somebody that could understand it. And I believe in that moment, God let us know that the earmark of the Church of Jesus will not be in some kind of upper room. It will not be in a tower. It will not be in a cathedral. Or, may I say it, it won't even be in a stone church located on the corner of Watchung and Hillcrest in New Jersey. But it will be a community who will find that God is not located in a place, but is found in the sharing of the Spirit of God with the other humans around us. Calvin and I yesterday took note of how many times we referred to this building as the church just in one day. We kept saying, hey, we're going over to the church. or what is happening in the church, or they're having a sweet 16 in the church, which is what we did yesterday. Happy birthday, Shirley. We kept referring to this building as the church, but even if we, as a result, we had already had the conversation of what the sermon was going to be, but we couldn't stop talking about the church. And when we use the phrase, we never ever meant the rich exchange of the people of God. That's never what we meant. We never meant we're going to the church, and we meant you all and the community and the life that we shared here. We never meant that. We meant this building with the steeple. At Babel, they were separated to go grow. At Pentecost, we are invited to do the same. The church of God is a people who run out of the rooms where they meet God to go speak the wonders of God in a language that the people around them can understand. Then we bring that rich diversity of the people that we found back into our communal gatherings, and then we share the experience together and form a rich tapestry of faith, and then we go back out again and we do it all over again, and then we return and we share together once again. It's not about being here and locking the doors and inviting everyone to come into our space, but it's about going out and becoming better because we know others. I have become convinced that we are the one group on earth that's uniquely designed to heal our world's divides. See, this gift that they were given is still living and it's still active today. We still have a spirit that allows us to speak the wonders of God in the language that people speak if we give ourselves to the Spirit's call to go out from here. Like that video, it might not be in words. It might be the way we listen to somebody without judgment. It might be the way we enthusiastically seek to understand where somebody else is coming from, especially when it seems that they think differently than we do, and the way they think is almost anathema to us. But that's how we do this. We listen for the voice of love in every single person that we encounter. I will tell you this, we will not reach people if we require people to speak our language before we will talk to them, before we allow them to join our club. They shouldn't have to learn our songs to see the Spirit of God in music. They shouldn't have to learn our words to have a system of responding to God in worship or in prayer. They shouldn't have to dress like us to feel like they belong or come into the building that we made to hear that they are loved by God and God's church. We are a spreading out people. We are given the Spirit to unite us, but not in one place or in one culture or one flavor, but the Spirit of God is given because we are united in one love, and that love moves us out into the world to Babylon. Get it? Now, in Jesus' name, Amen.